So is it whenever?
Or... Whenever you're ready, mate.
Cool, okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Chris Alexander. I'm also known as Creo Design. I'm joining the guys from Timepiece Archaeology to talk a wee bit about painting dials and customizing watches and modding beyond the usual. So I'm here just to chat all good things horology.
Yeah, for sweet. Sure. So I guess our first question is really like, is this your full-time job?
My full-time job? No. I wish it was. I think there's many people that probably do something similar or mod watches, and I think it's very rarely that they do it for a full-time job unless they're kind of a well-established watchmaker or somebody who actually works for a watch company. But no, this is my... my full-time hobby, let's say, but not my full-time job.
Well, what do you do for a full-time job?
I'm still kind of in the creative industry, so I manage a department of art, design, and performing arts at a college, a higher education college in Dundee. So that's my full-time job, is looking after creative people and helping them kind of teach others to be creative. So I suppose it's full circle that I get to be creative myself at home.
Yeah, you're just full creative all the time. That's crazy.
I wish.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, that's pretty awesome that you get to, like, you know, be creative, like, 24/7. I mean, That's really cool. I wish I could do something like that. I mean, especially helping other people, like, be creative. I think that's really awesome. So the next question would be, you know, how did you get involved in painting watch dials and stuff? Like, what got you into that?
I mean, that's pretty unique.
You probably speak to many creative people. If you do, I don't think their career path is, as a crow flies, it's not very straight. It meanders through many different kind of genres. I originally trained as a model maker, and I worked on films and film sets and props and did all that kind of stuff for many years. That then kind of meandered into working into wind tunnel models and Formula One cars for a wee bit of time. All sounds glamorous, all a lot of hard work, and no, I wouldn't want to do it again. You know, it does. Everybody kind of goes, oh, that sounds so cool, and you're thinking, yeah, well, you do the 20-hour days for 4 months straight, and then come back and tell me if it's as cool as you think it is.
Yeah.
So the grass isn't always greener on the other side. I kind of, through chance, I suppose, fell into teaching and loved it. And that's just kind of spiraled into the position I'm in today. But I suppose many people who teach find that, you know, if they don't keep creative themselves, they kind of are, I've always found, if you don't keep creative yourself, you kind of succumb to what you can teach as a creative. So I kind of took what skills I had, which is obviously 3D modeling and painting and creating, sculpting, all that sort of stuff, and kind of fell into designer art toys, you know, kid robot sort of stuff, but more making my own. So I'm sure if you Google Creo Design in Google and you look at the images, there's some weird and wonderful things that might pop up that is no doubt my stuff. I did that for quite a number of years. But it was only probably in the last year, I would say, I kind of got into the world of watches. But I mean, horology has been a passion of mine from a little kid. My dad was a big, you know, watch nerd. And he had boxes of watch bits all over the place. So it's always been kind of a entrenched interest, I would say, you know, the world of horology, and always wanted to do something. I think a lot of people want to do something in watches when they kind of get their first kind of mechanical watch or automatic watch, and they think, this is so cool. And but I never was able to train as a watchmaker, and so I'm thinking, what could I do? What skills could I bring into the world of watches that A, hasn't been, you know, trading other people's toes, because I'm not really like doing that, but B, is something that kind of complements my skills, and painting I'm not really an artist. You'd never find a canvas of mine, but I love kind of graffiti, street art, all that sort of stuff. And I painted my first watchtower for myself quite a few years ago, and someone noticed it. I think, you know, a friend noticed it, and that's really, really cool. You should do something about it. I never really thought about it. And then I posted a picture on, what's it called? The TGV Facebook site.
The Gentry.
The Gentry.
Yeah.
I posted a picture on that, just thinking, I think my exact phrase was, I'm just going to leave this here. I think that was my exact post phrase, and I put a picture up on my watch.
Nice.
And it just went mad. It was like, people were like, oh my God, what's that? I need it. And I thought, oh, maybe there's something here. And then before you know it, here I am today, after painting hundreds of watches. Loving every minute of it. I mean, it's great fun. You get to meet so many cool people like yourselves, and you get to do weird and wonderful things. And some very strange and odd requests, but
I'm sure,
request is a request, and sometimes you have to be very polite, kind of going, I really can't do that. you know, what people would like in their watch styles, but you know, but it's just gone from doing Seikos to then doing Rolex, and you know, it's scary at first, but you know, once you kind of just forget that you're about to paint a 800-pound dial, you couldn't just crack on. You know, you can't realistically think about, God, if I really mess this up, this is a lot of money. You know,
that's an expensive piece of canvas.
Yeah, just think of it as a 30-pound Seiko dial. It's the same. It's the same. You know? So, but I think the first time that I ever got a Rolex dial, I just looked at it for, I think it sat on my desk for about a week, and it's that horrible thing that you walk past and you just spy it again. You know, it's like the Annabelle doll from the horror films. It just looks back at you all the time. You remember how many times you walk past it, this thing staring at you, thinking, oh God. It's all good now. You know, it's like you know, and a Rolex dial, I don't mean to sound so flippant and naive, but you just like, whatever. You know, you look at dial prices online, and you're thinking, really? You know, it's like, you know, you've handled that kind of, and I suppose it's any, like, really expensive watch, you know, you actually, when you meet, you know, when you pick up a Seiko, no matter how beautiful it is, you kind of look and go, is it really that worth that much money? You know, you always expect it to be something so much more substantial, and you're thinking, yeah, I can't really justify that price, you know.
It's crazy.
It's
crazy, like, that you, like, I'm sure it's interesting that some people's comments on you painting on like Rolexes and stuff like that, and it's very, you've created like a market of its own and your own kind of creation. It's really cool.
Yeah, I was quite surprised. I mean, I think there's lots of models out there, and there's lots of great models. I don't think I've actually seen, I've never seen anybody who put their work up online that has been terrible. I'm sure there's lots of people who have, you know, done some stuff and then felt that they shouldn't post it, and there's lots of great people out there, and I think it's quite easy for anybody to find a really good watch model who can, you know, do your whole change your, you know, movement in your Seiko and all this sort of stuff, which is great. But I think the only kind of people I've seen that's done anything like me was Richard Mealy, you know, a few years back. I think that was with the Congo special. And that was, you know, obviously he's a graffiti artist and he's a pop artist, and I don't know how many pieces it is, about 30 pieces. I think about like, $800,000 each. But that's the only kind of similar thing I've seen.
Yeah.
And that's obviously quite neat. Nothing at the level, I suppose, not the level, but the price range, the accessibility that I'm trying to aim for. I've not seen anything, which is quite great. It's quite nice to kind of carve a niche into a world that is quite the same, in a sense, you know. A dive watch is a dive watch, a handset's a handset, you know. So it's quite nice just to bring something a wee bit new and different, and hopefully that it is accessible to the everyday man instead of people who have got very, very deep pockets.
Yeah. So I mean, like, you must have to learn quite a bit about watches, because you, I assume you buy the watch, take it apart, and then put it back together to paint that face. Like, I'm sure it's not an easy task to do that.
No, I mean, they're very expensive watches that I don't touch, and that's just out of my own respect, like the Rolexes and stuff like that. I've had a Rolex, I've opened it up, I've messed about with it, and that was my own personal one. And to be honest, you know, if you forget that you're dealing with a Rolex, it's just like dealing with a Seiko. You know, a handset's a handset. You can hand it off just as much as the tape or anything else, but that's supposed to. When it comes down to more complications and applying piece, then that's something that, you know, you can really start to worry about. But Seikos, you know, the movements are pretty cheap, and you can probably buy them online pretty cheap, and I would recommend that people do that and build up confidence, read lots. I mean, it was a long time before I even kind of touched anything like that. And there's lots of great tutorials, and I suppose once you just crack on with it, you know, and you do everything the way it should be done, and you buy all the right equipment, and you don't cut corners, then it's like anything else. You can do a quite a successful job, but by no means would I ever say that I'm a watchmaker or be would trust myself with someone's £10,000 watch, if I'm being honest with you. So
yeah.
There's a world of wonderful watchmakers that will then take your timepiece and do a great job for you. I think that's quite reassuring that there's people who are willing to work with you on those kind of projects. But yeah, so it's I've never kept anybody to say that yes, I can do that for you.
Is there a request that I was quite obscure that you've done before that was kind of like a really interesting dial that you did for someone, or something that really stands out from what you normally have done?
I suppose, I mean, I know it sounds bad, but what I can talk about, I mean, there's been a lot of projects that I've had to sign NDAs, non-disclosure acts. There's a lot of people who don't want me to show their work, which is fair enough. And I think there's, you know, if you do think about what I do, some people maybe want a certain colour combination, some people maybe want a certain style that they don't want to necessarily share. Because other people have seen what I've done and said, oh, can I get the exact same thing? So I think the most obscure one that I think I can, well, not obscure, but the funnest one I've done is probably the hand-painted pieces. That was like the turtle dial. I really like doing that turtle dial with a hand-painted turtle. And then the next one that came after that was a skull. So the hand-painted skull I did, and then the final hand-painted piece was a squid versus sperm whale. So those have been the funnest ones. I think they've only been fun because they are pushing my creative ability, I suppose. You know, I never thought I'd be painting with literally strands of sable hair and pins and all these weird and wonderful things, and, you know, be so close to a dial that when you stand up and kind of readjust your eyes, you feel a wee bit wobbly. You're thinking, my God, I don't know how anybody can do that for a long period of time. But yeah, that's been probably the funnest, if I'm being honest with you. But all the other stuff, like the splatter effects, they're great and I love doing them. And it's why I feel, you know, in terms of my style, is kind of fitting. It's always interesting to see what people do and don't want. One or two jobs was exactly the same, but using different colours, and people just completely switch off of one compared to the other. So the louder the colours, the better, I found. It's always interesting.
Gosh, that's really cool. Yeah, like,
yeah.
The squid versus the whale, that's crazy.
That's really cool. So, like, you know, like, who is really, like, looking and, like, seeking you out, like, to, you know, get your creative dials and stuff? Is it more, like, enthusiasts or, like, new watch guys? Like, you know, who really, is it just diverse? Like, who contacts you?
I think, every single person that's contacted me has been through Instagram. That's kind of my main portal, just because it's a good visual platform to kind of showcase your work, and it's easy to connect with quite a lot of people and quite a lot of specific people. So most of the people I have done work for have been watch enthusiasts, but I probably get a lot more contact from people who are new into the watch world. And I think the only reason why I presume that is because they normally say, I've just got a new watch and I've just seen your work, and can I inquire about X, Y, and Z? And then you tell them, yes, 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 sure. And you go, here's the price. And you don't ever hear from them again. So, so I think, you know, it does sound dark, but I do say, you know, everybody, I think the classics say to SKX, and I do say to people, you know, if by the time that you want everything that you want done to the watch, you're talking about 3, 4, 5 times the price of the watch. And they're like, you know, and diehard people are like, yeah, no worries, no problem. So, and I know those types of people are more, I've got a collection of watches and this is something different. And then the people who kind of don't have the contact to kind of go, oh, I'll come back to you, are those who maybe this is their first mechanical watch, and I suppose a £200-300 watch to them is expensive, you know, which I understand, it's not cheap. But I think when you quickly fall into the world of mechanical watches, you find that, you know, you're paying that for an Omega strap, you know. So it's one of those weird worlds that you can throw a very expensive price at someone and they'll just kind of, they'll wait and blink and they kind of go, sure, go for it. And then again, if you throw a price that's very low at the same person, they don't think it's worth that amount of money. So it's a weird, you know, it's been a long time coming to kind of figure out who is my market. I don't actually still know what my market is, if I'm honest.
Fair enough.
It changes. I never thought I'll be doing Rolexes, and I've done more Rolexes in the last 2 months than I've done Seikos in the last 3 months, you know. So I think once people see, it's easy to kind of go, oh, I can do your Rolex if you want. And they kind of go, yeah, not too sure. And then when they see it, then they kind of go, yeah, that's fine, go for it, I like that. So I think it's that first initial leap of faith from some people is all it takes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really, I saw a Datejust you just did with the splatter paint. That looked really cool. I was on your Instagram.
Yeah, well, I did, for one company, it's a great company called the Amsterdam Watch Company, and they're obviously based in Amsterdam. And, you know, it's owned by a wonderful couple, Roel and Toja. They got in touch with me saying they love what I do, and can we send you some dials and some straps, and can you paint them? So far today, I've done 4 Datejust dials for them and 1 Explorer dial. And, I mean, they sold out within, I think, maybe a month max, which is quite niche considering that they're just a storefront in Amsterdam. They've got a good website, but I think most of the people who have bought them are locals, you know. So that's been quite a big success, and hopefully, you know, continue that kind of partnership. And I think we're hopefully going to do some day dates with them soon. So, yeah, I think once people kind of see the stuff, I think that's a big difference. And I've always said it, but the pictures really don't do any justice. They don't do any of the watches really justice. You know, no matter how try how much practice I take with photography, it's never as good as what the real thing looks like.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it never, you know, replaces the real thing and the look of the paint on that dial. So you said your father was a big watch guy. Is that kind of how you got into watches, or were you not into watches before this whole watch thing started?
I was, and I wasn't, and I was. It's the easiest answer. I mean, like my first watch was a Seiko Kinetic. And this is going back to like 1991, maybe 1992, something like that. And we did a trip to America. So I grew up in South Africa. I was born in England, and then my family moved out to South Africa, because obviously that was a time when they're looking for expats to go work in that country. So my dad got a job out there, we all moved out there, and then we went to America for a holiday, and it was in Florida. I'll never forget it, Florida. My dad took me into a mechanical workshop, or just a workshop, and he said, pick anything you want. And I just saw this yellow, like bright yellow Seiko. And looking back at it now, I giggle because it's actually a woman's watch. But I loved it. And bought the Seiko, and that was my watch for a good long time. I suppose in recent years, when you're kind of working in the creative industries, you can't be too precious about anything. So I think I kind of fell out of the watch world a wee bit. I had kind of the traditional Casio. It was the SW91, is that right?
The mm-hmm. classic Casio, yeah.
Yeah, I think I had that for many, many, many years, a bright green one. It's really awful gold colours, but yeah. and then it was probably in the last 4 or 5 years that I've started to kind of get back into, you know, the world of mechanical watches, and then kind of find myself today where I've got, I don't have a big collection, I've got, I've just got the original cocktail time, so a Saab 65,
nice.
My Speedy, and my 3570 Speedy, so I only own two watches, there you go.
That's all you need, though.
Any other watches, say that again?
Yeah, that's all you need, though, is the Saab and the Speedy.
Well, you know what? All you need is a Speedy, if I'm being brutally honest. the Saab's a present for my wife. So she's got a good thing. I'm not allowed to paint that one. That was what I was told. You're not allowed to paint this one because it's a present or something. All right.
Gotcha. Well, I always ask a lot of people that come on the podcast this one question, and this is where we'll end this good interview. If you had $250 to buy your first watch, and you don't know, like, you're brand new to the watch world, what would you buy?
I'm going to avoid saying a Seiko SKX. I'll avoid saying that. Everybody says that.
Yeah.
I would say an Orient Bambino.
Ooh,
there you go.
V3 Gen 2.
Nice.
Oh,
okay.
Is it Gen 2 V3? It's a blue. I had one for a bit. It's a blue sunray dial.
Yeah.
It's a really nice watch.
Nice. That's a good choice.
Yeah,
that's a good pick.
And you got some change from the $250.
Exactly. Yeah, and then you could pocket
nice
the rest, get a nice strap.
Probably buy two.
Yeah, probably. To
buy
be honest.
Two.
Get two different dial variants. Nice. Well,
yeah,
it was great talking.
It's a great watch. If anybody wants like a good, you know, all rounder, I think the blue dial version one is really good.
Yeah.
It is. The Orient Bambinos are a great watch. Well, it was great talking to you. I really appreciate you coming on to the podcast and learning more about what you do. And I found your Instagram kind of just running around through the pages and saw a painted dial and just
definitely
kind of
catches your eye.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You kind of start scrolling through it and you get lost.
Yeah, well, hopefully I try and make it a wee bit, you know, different, but. You start to repeat yourself because you're not allowed to show every watch.
That's true.
Watch, but I can't, you know, so, it's great to talk to people, and some people get in touch, never even to buy anything, but just to have a wee chat, and I think that's something that's quite nice and unique about the watch world is some people just want to talk watches.
Yeah.
And that's always a nice thing.
It's all about growing the community, that's for sure.
It's a very strong community, I think. Watch World's great.
Well, it was great talking to you. You have a great day.
No, thank you very much, guys. You too. Enjoy the weather in Chicago. Hopefully it stays nice and warm.
Hopefully. You too. Bye-bye.
See you later, guys.